Okay, good evening, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Pehe. We left off in Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. I think we are at Umi Amar Shmuel Achi, three lines from the bottom of the page. They share a sponsor by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. So the first thing we're going to discuss is whether Shmuel follows Rov when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, and we're going to bring a raya from the case of a Tinok Mushlach. If you find a baby that's abandoned and you do not know if the child is Jewish or not Jewish, so what is the halacha in terms of that? What kind of assumptions can you make, and do you follow Rov and the Gabi different halachas as far as Yichus, as far as Pikuach Nefesh, Lachyoso, different halachas? Then the Gemara is going to deal with different details of Mefakhin Olav Es Hagal, that when you have someone that's trapped under rubble, Lo Aleinu Rachman Alitzlan, so some of the details of the halachas of when you continue to dig on Shabbos and when you do not, and that's going to lead to a discussion of determining the time of death. How do we determine if somebody is dead or alive? And that's obviously very much Nogei Lamaisa as far as the Sugi of brain death and the like. And then the Gemara is going to bring seven different sources for the idea that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, and the Gemara is going to judge between them which one is the best of the seven sources for the idea that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss what it takes to achieve Kapara for different Averos. That's when we transition into the Kapara element of Yom HaKippurim and the day of Kapara and Tahara and things like that. When do you need Tshuva? When is Yom Kippur enough? Is it the daytime of Yom Kippur? When do Karbanos suffice to achieve Kapara? So that's going to be at the end of the Daf. So let's begin just three lines from the end of the page on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. It says the Gemara, does Shmuel really hold that we do not follow Rov when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh? Vatnan, but isn't there a Mishnah in Maseches Machshirin that tells us that if you have a city where there are both Jews and non-Jews who live in the city, and Matzah Batinok Mushlach, you find an abandoned baby in the city. So Im Rov Kutim Kuti, if the majority of the residents of the city are Kutim, you assume the baby is Kuti. Im Rov Yisrael Yisrael, if the majority of the residents of the city are Jewish, so then you assume the baby is a Jew. So Mechsal Mechsal, but if it's 50-50 Yisrael, then you assume that the baby is a Jew. Va'amarav Lo Shanu Elo Lahachyoso. This din that you rely on Rov Yisrael, and therefore if you assume he's a Jew when it's you find an abandoned baby in Muncie or Borough Park or something like that, that you assume that that the baby is a Jew, that's only when it comes to Beis Din's obligation to be mefarnes the child, to support the child, lahachiyoso. Because the pasuk says, v'chayachicha imach, and that's what Rashi points out in the Maseches Ksumas, and that's what Tosfos writes as well. However, Rashi writes that we have to be mechayahim only if it's a case of Rov Yisrael. But if it's mechza al mechza, then there's no mitzvah lahachiyoso. And that's what Tosfos is going to write later on, and today's daf on Pehei Amud Aleph. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisur Bia Perek Tezvav paskins that even when it's mechzal mechza, we're mitzuvah lahachiyoso, that even if it's 50-50, we have an obligation lahachiyoso. So again, machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, is it that we're mitzuvah lahachiyoso only when it's Rov Yisrael, 51% Israel, or maybe even like the Rambam says, when it's 50-50, that you still have a mitzvah lahachiyoso, you still assume he's Yisrael in that regard? So Rav Elchanan explains, what's the nekudas amachlokas that Rashi holds that what's the suffix over here? The suffix is about the din of tzedakah. Lahachyoso is to give tzedakah. So how do you view suffix tzedakah? Is it a suffix iser, suffix mitzvah rather, or is it a suffix mammon? If you view it as a suffix mitzvah, so the halach is mitzvah, a suffix daraisa lechumra. So if it's a 50-50 suffix, then you have to support it. But if you, and that's the shitz Rambam, but if you view it as a suffix mammon, so the halach is that a suffix mammon, I'm motzi mechavero, alav haraya. I don't have to give up my money if it's a suffix mammon. That would be shitas Rashi, that only if it's a Rov Yisrael, you would have to support him. That's how Rav Elchanan explains the machlokes. You have similar discussion when it comes to like Pidyon HaBen. You have a suffix about Pidyon HaBen. So Pidyon HaBen involves giving money to a kohen. So is that a suffix mammon, or is it a suffix mitzvah? Is it a suffix in the realm of mitzvahs? So that's how Rav Elchanan explains the machlokes over here. But avaliach solo, but says the Gemara, but if the issue is about allowing the baby to marry a kohen, if it's a baby girl, so then we do not treat the baby like a Jew, even though it's Rov Yisrael. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says the fact that we say that we rely on Rov is lefakeach alav asagal. It's about being mechal Shabbos in order to save the baby. That rechoshesh that it might be a Jew, and therefore you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to save the baby. So we're medayik from here that if we're 50-50, and certainly if it were Rov Nachrim, then the halacha would not be that way. You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So isn't this a raya that Shmuel holds that we are holich b'pikuach pikuach nefesh achar rov, that if it's rov nachrim, we're not going to be mechal Shabbos to save the person. And we just said before at the end of yesterday's shir that Shmuel holds that ain't olchem be pikuach nefesh achar rov, question mark. So now answers the Gemara, ki idmar de Shmuel a reisha idmar. No, when Shmuel was commenting on the reisha of the Mishnah, where it said in rov kutim kuti, so amr Shmuel in pikuach nefesh ain't okay, where we said that if it's rov non-Jews, that you treat him like a non-Jew and you're not mechal Shabbos. So Shmuel says, no, not when it comes to pikuach nefesh. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, even if it's rov non-Jews, you're going to save the baby's life, because we do not follow rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh. So in fact, this Mishnah is a raya to what we said yesterday in the name of Shmuel. So now the Gemara explains what are the legabe, which halachos the other dinim in the Mishnah apply. I mean, according to Shmuel, even when it's rov kutim, you treat the baby like a Jew, and if, as far as saving his life is concerned. Imrov kutim kutim my hilchsa. So in what regard do we treat the baby like a non-Jew? Samra papa laha achilo nevelos. As far as the heter to feed the baby nevelos, that until at least he gets old enough to be megayer, and you know, he becomes of age to make a decision to do a giur, as long as he's a safek, and it's rov kutim, you're allowed to be machilim nevelos. I mean, normally you're not allowed to feed a Jewish baby nevelos, because that's the halacha. But certainly as far as feeding the Suffolk baby, if it's rov kutim, so you're allowed to be machil nevelos. Im rov Yisrael ma'ilchsa. And lagabe what halacha do we say that we follow the rov if it's rov Jews? So the haksul avedasa. That's when it comes to Shavas aveda, that rov Yisrael, you could make the someone who found his aveda return the aveda to him, because we consider him to be a Jew. But if it's mechzal mechza, then you would not have to do Hashavas aveda. So we said mechzal mechza, if it's half Jews, half non-Jews, Yisrael, that we treat him like a Jew. L'may hilchsa l'gabe, which halacha is that concerning? So Reish Lakish comments l'nizakin, as far as the halachas of nizikin, because the halacha is, the Mishnah tells us in Baba Kama, that there's a big difference if a shor shel Yisrael is nagach shor shel akum, or a shor shel akum is nagach shor shel Yisrael. If my shor does damage to a shor of a nachri, I'm pater. Shor of a nachri damages a Yisrael, whether it's a tam or a muad, the nachri has to pay nezek shalim. And Yisrael shenagach shel Yisrael, the tam is mashalim chatzi nezek, and a muad is mashalim nezek shalim. So when my ox gores him, so what do I pay? What am I obligated to pay? I mean, how do we know these halachas that you have this this din? So Rabbi Yavoh darshins from a pasuk in Chabakuk that Ra'aviter Goyim, that Ra' Sheva Mitzvah Shekibla Alei B'nei Noach, that they were not Mekayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the B'nei Noach were not Mekayim the Sheva Mitzvah that they were given. So Amad Vihiter Mamonim Li Yisrael. And therefore, a rule was made that their Mamon is now like Hefker Legabe Yisraelim as far as Nezikin is concerned. And Rabbi Yochanan darshins from a different pasuk, Vofia Mihar Paran, that from Paran is Vofia Mamonim Li Yisrael, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to the different Umas HaOlam, and they chose not to accept it, so that's when their mamon became heter for Klal Yisrael. But bottom line is, there is a difference whether it's a Jew or not Jew as far as Nezikin is concerned. So that's where we say, if it's mechzal mechza, you treat this baby like a Yisrael. Say, Chidami, what exactly is the case that we're talking about? If it's my ox, of course, his ox, so he wants money, he wants me to pay nicely raya v'nishkel. Why should he be treated like Yisrael that I should pay? Let him bring a raya. It's a safek hashakul, it's a 50-50 suffix, so let him bring a raya before he takes raya. So the case must be it's his ox that gored my ox. So half he for sure has to give, like because if a shor tam that belongs to a Jew gores another Jew's shor, so you got to pay chatzi nezek, that's for sure. Question is, does he have to pay nezek shalim? Because if he's a non-Jew, then he'd have to pay nezek shalim. So half he has to pay. Idach palga, but as far as the other half is concerned, namely, I see raya de lav Yisrael anoshkol. Why can't the mazik tell the nizik, you bring a raya that I'm not a Jew, and then you can take the other half. Otherwise, I'm not going to pay the other half. The Ritva raises the question, but wait a second, he's a modem b'miksas. He says, I'm chayiv chamishim, and chamishim ein yodea. And the halacha is, when you're modem b'miksas and you're ein yodea and the rest, we talk shein yachol yishava mishalim. Normally, the halacha is a modem b'miksas has to take a shavua, that he doesn't owe the rest of the money. But if he can't, cannot take a shvua. So the halach is mitoch sheni yachol yishav mishalim. Over here, he cannot take a shvua. He knows he's chayav 50. He's moda on that. The other 50, he can't take a shvua that he's a Jew because he doesn't know that he's a Jew. He himself is mesupak whether he's a Jew. So why do we say mitoch sheni yachol yishav mishalim? So he says the din of moda mitzva says the ritva is only in a case where he should have known whether he's chayav or not, and he doesn't know that. He doesn't have all the information. But if it's impossible for him to have known, how's he supposed to have known? He was an abandoned baby, so he doesn't know anything about himself, but that's not his fault. Then we don't say mitoch shein yochel lishava mishalim. So that's the case where we said that if it's a mechza al mechza, he has a din like a Yisrael, that if we want to get more money out of him, he can say, prove to me that I'm a kuti and you can get more money out of me. And therefore we treat him like Yisrael, where he only has to pay half. So then we said mishan of alav mapolis, and if a person was stuck under the rubble of a collapsed building, and we're not sure if he's alive or dead, and we're not sure if he's a Jew or a non-Jew, we continue to be mechal Shabbos to uncover the rubble. So Micah, to remove the rubble, to uncover him. So Micah Amar, so what's the Mishnah telling me when it says these sveikos? So lomi bayi kamar, it's telling me lomi bayi safik hu sham safik eno sham. You don't need to tell me if it's a safik whether he's there at all. D'ii say chayhu demfakhid, where if he is there, I'm confident that he's alive, then for sure I'm allowed to remove the rubble. Ela afilu safik chay safik meis mefakhin, even if I'm not sure he's there, and I don't even know, even if he is there, I don't know if he's alive, I could still continue to work to uncover the rubble. V'lomi bayi safik chay safik meis the Yisrael, and not only if it's a situation where I'm not even sure if he's there, and even if he's there, I'm not sure if he's alive, but at least if he's there and he's alive, he's a Jew. Ela afilu safik kuti safik Yisrael mefakhin, even if I don't know if he's there, I don't know if he's alive, and I don't even know if he's a Jew, still I'm allowed to work. So you have three different sveikos. I don't know if he's there, I don't know if he's alive, and I don't know if he's a Jew. Still the halacha is mefakhin, that you're mefakeh chasagal, that you remove the rubble in order to try to save him. So chay mefakhin, we said if you find him alive, then keep on working to uncover him and get him out of there. So mitzu chay pshit, of course if you find him alive, you should keep on working to get him out of there. So says gemara lo tzricha dafilu chay sha'a. No, the chiddush is that you are able to assess his condition, and he's not going to live until next Shabbos. He's going to live a couple of hours longer, maybe. So even that, you continue to be mechal Shabbos. We're going to have to look, a little later in the Gemara. We're going to see seven different reasons for why you're mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. One of those reasons is chalal of Shabbos achas kedei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe, that you want to be mechal one Shabbos so that he could observe many Shabbosos. Well, chaye sha'a, he's only going to live for another couple of hours. He's not going to observe many Shabbosos. So maybe in such a case, you would not be mefakeh alav esagal. So that's why it's a chiddush to tell me that you continue to be mechal Shabbos to save him, even if you're only going to save another few hours of life. And if he's dead, then you leave him there. Says Maranami Pshita. Of course, you're not going to be mechal Shabbos to save a dead man. So says Maral Tzricha the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The chiddush is with the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Tanya in Matzilu Nesames Mevayad Deika. You don't take a dead body out of a burning building on Shabbos because the mace is muktzah, so you're not allowed to remove a dead body. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Shamati Shematzilu Nesames Mevayad Deika, that you're even allowed to remove a dead body from a burning building on Shabbos. Va'afilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish lo ka Amar Ella Mitok Shad the Baal al Mace, so he lo shar say Asiluch Guye. Why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish allow removing the mace, which is a form of muktzah? He's muktzah machmas gufo, because the mace is not ra'ui for anything, so it's also to be metaltal. It's muktzah machmas gufo. So why is it that he allows removing the mace from a burning building on Shabbos? Because we're afraid that he's going to be so distraught by the thought that the body is going to be burnt and he's not going to have a proper kvura and everything, that he's going to go and he's going to violate the melacha d'oraisa of being mechabed eish on Shabbos. Aval hacha, but over here, he lo sharis le'emayis le'mevin. But over here, if we're not going to allow him to continue to remove the rubble, so what's he going to do? What are we concerned he's going to do? That he'll continue to remove the rubble? That's what he's going to do anyway. So there's no greater concern of what he's going to come to do if we tell him not to remove the rubble, especially since the mace is still going to be there after Shabbos. It's not like the mace is gone, as opposed to the burning building where the mace is going to be consumed. There are people that are under the misimpression that there's no tchias ha-mesin when someone is burnt, when someone is cremated. That's how they convince people, one of the arguments they make to convince people not to get themselves cremated. So that is not the right argument to make. A person should not get cremated because there's a mitzvah of kavura and there's a mitzvah of nivla mesin, and the mitzvah, all those things. You're not allowed to ruin a dead body. But we believe 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust are going to have tchias ha-mesin. We do not assume that just because a body was burnt, so people say, well, how could it possibly happen? The body's totally, I don't know, after a body's dead for a while, it's a miracle anyway. So God will figure it out. He'll figure out how to take the ashes and make a tchias ha-mesim. So certainly there can be a tchias ha-mesim, but the point is that the chiddush of here is within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish that we have to let the guy save the dead body from a burning building. We don't have to let the guy save the body from a pile if he's from underneath the rubble if he's dead. Now the assumption is that saving him from the burning building is necessary because otherwise he'll violate the melacha d'oraisa of mechabed. Now the halacha is that kibui is only is l'chora only going to be an iser d'rabanan over here. It's not going to be an iser d'oraisa because. It's only to stop the spread of the fire. It's a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. But nevertheless, the Chum were more machmir on kiboy d'rabbanan than they would be on muktza. And they say violate muktza rather than maybe come to violate kiboy mid'rabbanan because muktza is ikaro mid'rabbanan. The whole concept of muktza is d'rabbanan. Mechada at least is a concept mid'oraisa in this particular application. It's only midrabanan. And what's mefakeh hagal? So there's a discussion in poskim. Why mefakeh hagal? Why removing the rubble is only drabanan and not the oraisa? But that seems to be the assumption as well. Okay. So now says Martan Rabban, we have a braisa. Areichnu bodek. How much of the body do you have to uncover in order to be able to determine whether he's alive or not? So ad chotmo v'yeshom ad libo. So machlokas whether only until the nose to see if he's breathing or until the heart to see if he has a heartbeat. So, badik matzal yonim mesim lo yomer kvar mesu atachtonim. If you find that the bodies on the top of the pile are all dead, so you don't automatically assume that those who are caught deeper under the rubble are automatically dead. It could be that there's a cavity in the ground that is all that they're trapped in, that they were able to breathe somehow. Ma'aser shaya matzal yonim mesim atachtonim chayim. Sometimes it happens. There was a ma'aser shaya where they found the bodies toward the top of the pile were mesim, and the bottom ones were chayim, were alive. So maybe this machlokes tanaim in the brisa, whether we look at the person's nose to determine whether he's alive or we look at the person's heart, is really the same machlokes tanaim we had elsewhere. Detanya mehechna vlad notzar. Where is the beginning of the creation of a fetus inside the rechem? Merosho. So it all starts from the head. Shenemar mimei imi ata gozi vaomer gozi nizreich vahashlichi. That the hair that grows from the head is used with the term gozi, and gozi is used when describing the development of the child. So we assume that the child starts developing from the head. Abishol Omer, no, mitiburo. It starts from the torso. Umeshayach shrosha ve'elich ve'elich. You start with the midsection of the child, and then things grow out, the arms, the legs, and everything grows out from there. But that's where it starts. So it seems to align perfectly if you hold that the creation starts from the head. So the determination of life is at the nose. If you hold that the creation starts from the middle of the body, then the definition of life is going to be from the heart. Says Mar, nah, the two machlokas are not related to each other at all. Maybe Abishol says as far as the yetzira savlad, it starts from the middle of the baby. But when it comes to pikuach nefesh, even Abishol agrees that the life is in the nose, is in the breathing. So you see that the chiyus, that the life is based on breathing, is based on the cessation of breath. In when they discuss the issue of brain death, so in the Halachic Organ Donor Society, they have interviews with different people to try to prove their shita that brain death is death, which is not a universally held shita. It's the position of the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael. It's the position, very famously, of Rabbi Tendler, and Rabbi Tendler argues that it's the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein as well. So they interview Rav David Zichron Lebracha, Rav David Feinstein, and they ask him, what is the definition of death? And he said, cessation of breathing. And they said, what about brain death? He said, cessation of breathing. So their point is that that's the same thing. So he made a point not to say. He just didn't say about brain. He said, cessation of breathing. That's what the Gemara says. That's what my father said. So the assumption is that a brain dead person is unable to breathe without machines keeping him going, keeping his heart pumping, but he's unable to breathe. But nevertheless, that was the definition definition, because that's the Gemara's definition, that it's that he doesn't have Ruach Chaim. Amar Papa Machlokas Mimata Lemaila. The whole Machlokas is if you're able to uncover the body starting at his feet. So do you stop at the heart when you find the heart not beating, or do you go all the way until the nose? Because so that's where you have Machlokas, whether you could stop at the heart or you have to go all the way till the nose. Avol Mimal Lemata. But if you're starting at the top of his body, so Kibin the Badikle Ad Chotmo Shuvenu Tzarich. If you get to the nose and there's no sign of chius in the nose, you put a feather by the nose and there's no breathing, you don't have to check any further. It's the ruach chayim that's going to determine him. If there's no ruach, then he's vade, considered to be a mace. So certainly the neshama is seems to be in the heart. The chotem, the nose, doesn't give chius to a person, but the Chacham Tzvi explains in the tshuva that sometimes because he's so weak, it's very hard to determine the heartbeat, to see if there's a heartbeat there at all. But the neshima that comes from the lev through the lungs is more evident. So therefore, if there's breathing, there's also a heartbeat. You may not have been able to detect the heartbeat, but it's there if there is breathing. That's how the Chacham Tzvi explains why the breath is more of a simen than the heartbeat is considered a simen. The issue of brain death happens. We're not going to get into the whole issue over here, but it's according to Chazal, there are three vital organs on the body. There's the brain, the heart, and the liver. And Chazal do not, in the Mishnayos and others, do not seem to really distinguish between those three vital organs. So the Shaila is, if a single vital organ is gone, do you assume that that's the definition of death? Or do you need all the vital organs to be gone? Or do you need rov of the vital organs to be gone? Meaning what we have in our Gemara is simanim, but they don't seem to be definitions. So what is the definition of death? So the argument that brain death is death is that any single one of the vital organs would be enough. Rav Shechter pointed out that the counter argument is that if you're not going to be mechalik between the different vital organs, then a person missing a liver is also dead. A person missing a liver is going to die soon, but he could be dancing at a chasana right now. So it would turn out that you have to bury him as he's dancing at a chasana, and the kohanim have to leave the room because he's already a mace. So that would be a very difficult sell to say that that's considered to be misa. The other issue is not only how we define death, but how reliable are the tests to determine that in fact there is full brain death. Every once in a while there's a story that in the news of a guy who was brain dead, and they were about to unplug him, and he says, "Hey, what are you guys doing? I'm here," you know. And they whenever they've shown Rabbi Tendler those stories, Rabbi Tendler says, just because some idiot doctor didn't know how to read a brain scan, it doesn't mean that the brain death isn't death, meaning that the tests have to be done properly also. You have to know what you're doing. Okay, anyway, so Kvar, by the way, Rosh Shlomo Zalman and most of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael outside, even though the chief rabbinate holds brain death is death, most of the Gedolei Yisrael hold that it's not death. Rav Shechter holds that it's a suffix death, so Kohen shouldn't go into the room with a brain dead patient, but certainly you cannot take organs, you cannot take the heart or anything else. But that's a major machlok zaposkim. So anyway, Kvaro Yerushalv Rabbi Kiv Rabbi Lozer Ben Azaria Malchim B'Derech, that these three Tanayim were traveling on the road. The Levi Asador Rabbi Shmuel Ben Oshel Rabbi Lozer Ben Azaria Malchim Achrayen, and Levi Asador and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Oshel Rabbi Lozer Ben Azaria were following after them. Nishla Shailus Ubefneim Minayl Pikuach Nefesh Zoch Shabbos. So they asked the following Shaila: how do we know Pikuach Nefesh Zoch Shabbos? Seven answers. Nana Rabbi Shmuel Ben Amar Im B'Machtarasi Matzei Aganav, that if you find the Ganav breaking into, tunneling into your house, so the balabayas kills the ganav, so it's not considered murder. So mazesh safik al mamun ba safik al nefashos ba. You don't know if he's coming to steal your money or if he's coming to kill you. And ushvichus damim metamei as haaretz regarding the shchinah shetestalik in Israel. And by killing him, ushvichus damim is a very bad thing. It causes to be the whole land to become tamei, and it causes shchina to leave klal Yisrael, because by rotzeach the pasuk says v'lo setamei as haaretz asher atem yoshvim ba asher nishochem betocha. So you see that it's a din of being metameh the aretz. So nevertheless, it's still nita na'atzilo b'nafsho. You're allowed to save the balabayis is allowed to save himself by killing the ganav. So you see, even though for the balabayis it's only a suffik pikuach nefesh, and nevertheless he's allowed to commit murder for a suffik pikuach nefesh. So kal v'chomer the pikuach nefesh for sure, for a suffik pikuach nefesh you could be mechal Shabbos. If you can murder for a suffik pikuach nefesh, for sure you can be mechal Shabbos for a suffik pikuach nefesh. So that's the source that you can be mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. Second possible answer, then Rabbi Akiva va Amar. Rabbi Akiva says, I have a different answer. By Rotech, it says, v'chiyazid ish al re'ehu, me'im is b'chi tikachan ulamos. And we darshan that if a person kills someone b'mezid, he's chayv misa, and even if he's a kohen, he's going to do the avoda, you take him off of the avoda to go kill him because he's chayv misa. But me'im is b'chi v'lo me'al is b'chi. When he starts to do the avoda, you would remove him from the Beis HaMikdash to kill him. But not if he already started doing the avoda. Then you wait till he finishes the avoda, and then you kill him after he finishes the avoda. That's only to kill him if he was a rotzeach b'mezid. But let's say there's someone else that's standing trial and is about to be convicted of murder, and the only guy that knows of an argument to save him, to acquit him, is a kohen who's already in the middle of the avoda, is already me'al mizbechi. You take him off on the mizbech and you go and you save that life. So I don't know if he really has a good argument to save the guy's life. We'll see what Beis Din thinks about his argument. It's a suffix whether he'll be able to save the life. The avoda do chashabbos, and avoda we know you can even do on Shabbos. Avoda is more important than Shabbos. Nevertheless, you're allowed to stop the avoda in order to maybe save the guy's life. So kal v'chomer pikuach nefesh do chashabbos. So when it's for sure pikuach nefesh, then of course you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, which is less than avoda. Third answer. Then Rabbi Elazar v'amar. How do I know pikuach nefesh do chashabbos? Uma milishi echad mimasayim v'arba'im shmona evarim shabadim do chashabbos. Mila is only one of the 248 limbs on a person. Is do chashabbos kal v'chomer chal gufo shado chashabbos. So a person's entire body, to save a person's entire life, is Docha Shabbos. You're allowed to help one limb of the body in through Chil Shabbos, so for sure you can help the entire body through Chil Shabbos. Answer number four, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eshab Sosai Tishmaru, Yachal Akol. I would have said that the Chiv to be Shomer Shabbos is in all situations, even in the case of Bikuach Nefesh. Tamal Omer, Ach. That's why it says, Ach, Eshab Sosai Tishmaru. So Chilek, to tell me that, not always, you should observe Shabbos, generally, but there are some times that you don't observe Shabbos, and that is when someone's life is at stake. Fifth possible source, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Pasuk says, Ki kodesh hi lachem. So from the word lachem, we darshan, hi masur b'yadchem v'latem masur b'yada. Shabbos is given over to you, but you are not given over to Shabbos. Meaning your life is not at the mercy of Shabbos. Sixth answer, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi Omer, v'shamr v'nei yisol das ha-Shabbos. Amra Torah, halal of Shabbos achas, kodesh yishmar Shabbos as-harbe. It's worthwhile to be mechal one Shabbos in order that the person will be able to observe many Shabbosos. So according to that, you should only save the life if the person is actually going to be able to observe many Shabbosos. But if it's only for Chaye Sha'a, then you wouldn't save the life. And that's in fact what the Halachos Ketanos writes in Tshuvin Chilek Beis Simen Lamed Ches. According to that, for Chaye Sha'a, you would not save a life. However, Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says not so. Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says you would even save a life for Chaye Sha'a, even according to this Shita, that the whole reason you're being Mechal Shabbos is because of all the Shabbosos he's going to observe. It's not about the Shabbosos that he's going to observe, it's about all the mitzvahs he's going to do. So it could be in the 3 hours of life he'll do many other mitzvahs. So it doesn't have to be about observing many Shabbosos. Many Shabbosos is just an example that we give. And then the seventh and final approach, Amar V'Dimar Shmuel, Iyavoy Hasam. If I would have been Zochet to participate in that conversation, Hava Amina Didi Adifa Miditu, that I have a better answer than all of them, because the pasuk says V'Chai Behem and V'Darshin V'Lo Sheyamos Behem, that you live through the mitzvahs and you do not die through the mitzvahs of the Torah, so you should not die in your observance of Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Lekulu Islu Pirchus. Rabbi says all these drashos of Tanaim we could reject, bar midushmul v'lasay pirchus, except for that last one. Shmuel, there's no answer on. Rabbi Shmuel, so what are the pirchus and all the other six? Rabbi Shmuel didn't look at the Rabbi. As far as Rabbi Shmuel's source of the guy who's baba machteres, and we see that you're allowed to kill him even though you don't even know if he's trying to kill you. Well, maybe we hold like Rabbi that the reason you're allowed to kill the baba machteres is dumb. Rabbi, my time the machteres because. A person is not going to just let you go and take all his money from him. So the guy who's tunneling through into your house is aware that he's going to face some resistance, that when you catch him, you're going to try to stop him, because it's human to try to stop a guy who's trying to steal all your money. But Omar, so what's the mindset of the guy who's tunneling in? He's thinking, if I face resistance, I'm going to kill the balabas. So the Torah says, Mashkim Lahargo. So that if someone's trying to kill you, you kill him first. Vashkhan Vaday, Safik Minolan. So we find that of Makar, that when you know for sure the guy is trying to kill you, meaning according to Rava, you know for sure the Baba Machteris is trying to kill you, because he's already gone through the plan in his head. And the plan is that if you stand up against him, which you're assumed to do, he'll kill you. So that's a Vaday Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to kill him. But how do I know for a Safik Pikuach Nefesh? You could be Mechal Shabbos, you could also violate an Isser. So yes, you could violate murder for a Vaday Pikuach Nefesh. But can you violate Shabbos for a Safik Pikuach Nefesh? I don't know. Rabbi Akiva Nami, Rabbi Akiva's source is also not such a great source, because Rabbi Akiva's source was the fact that we take a guy who's in the middle of doing Avodah to give Eidus for to save another guy's life. So maybe the case is where we know that his argument is a good argument. So it's a vaday bikuach nefesh. So vashkon vaday safek minolam. That only tells me in a vaday bikuach nefesh case you're allowed to violate the avoda, which is even more important than Shabbos. But how do I know in the safek bikuach nefesh that you could violate Shabbos? Bekul ashkon vaday. And the truth is, the other drashas also of the Tanaim, all you see from there is that when you have a vaday bikuach nefesh, you doche Shabbos. Avol safek minolam. But where do we find by any of them that even in the Suffolk it's Docha Shabbos? Udishmuel vade les lepircha. But as far as Shmuel's argument of v'chai behem, you can't be Docha, because v'chai behem sounds like there's no kiyumei mitzvos are only when you're vade going to live. Meaning it's not all the other sources were focusing on death, we're focusing on what the Pikuach Nefesh is. So they were all about, oh, if it's Vaday Pikuach Nefesh, then you can violate the Yisr. Shmuel's argument was that V'chai Behem, you have to Vaday be able to live. And if it's not Vaday that you're going to live, then you're allowed to violate the Surim in order to be able to live. So Amar Ravina, V'item Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tava Chada Pilpata Charifa, Mimlo Tzina Dekare. That you see over here, there's an expression that the Gemara has, that one little seed of a sharp pepper is better than a whole basket full of gourds, full of melons or something like that. Because even though it's very tiny, it has a much more sharp taste than all the other tavlinim. So you see that the drush of Shmuel, who's an Amora, so he's smaller than all the other opinions. All the other opinions were Tanaim. It was better. So gourds are a much larger vegetable. So we're saying that that this pulpul charifta, this little sharp piece of something, so much tinier, represented Shmuel, is represented by that Shmuel, the Amora, is so much bigger than all the rest, than all of the other things. Now there is discussion when it comes to pikuach nefesh by a shota. You know, the Gemara is, I mean, basically what we have over here is that v'chai behem, and then we have a svara of chalal of Shabbos achas k'dei shiyishmar Shabbos nesarbe. So there may be nafkaminas between those two bases for being mechal Shabbos in order to save a life. In the Tshuvas Halachas Ketanos, he discusses what about being matzi l'shota who's in sakana on Shabbos. V'chai behem is shayich for him, but it's not. But you're not going to have chalal of Shabbos. He's part of mitzvahs. He's not going to be shomer Shabbos Sarbe. So that's the poskim all point out that we are mechal Shabbos. That we assume that it's not just the svara chalal of Shabbos Achsiyishmer Shabbos Sarbe. If a person is not a bar das and he's not chayiv in shmir Shabbos, still we're mechal Shabbos in order to save the person. What a person can be in a situation where he's going to become a shota, is that considered pikuach nefesh to be mechal Shabbos? So in that case, it's not a violation of chayiv. His life is not in danger, his mental health is in danger, so he might become a shota. So would you say, well, chalal of Shabbos achas, do a chil Shabbos to prevent him from becoming a shota, because if he becomes a shota, then he's not going to be chayiv in any Shabbosos in the future, he's not going to be able to keep Shabbosos in the future. So poskim are mekel on that end as well. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Ebenezer Chelek Aleph Simon Samach Zayin. So they're mekel like both shitas, meaning that if a person is a shota, mechal Shabbos, even though Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos Harbe doesn't apply, and if a person might become a shoti mechal Shabbos, even though the chai behem doesn't apply, because he's going to live anyway. It's just a question of whether he's going to be a shota. So fascinating discussions in poskim about that. So vaytu now. So says the Mishnah. Chatos v'asham vaday mechaperin. That a carbon chatos and a carbon asham vaday, as soon as you bring those carbonos, they're mechaper for the averos that they're supposed to address, right? The chatos and the carbon asham address particular averos. So as soon as you bring those carbonos, those averos are taken care of. Misa v'yom kippur mechaperinim atshuva. A person's death and Yom Kippur, meaning or Yom Kippur, are mechaper the more serious averos, but only together in conjunction with tshuva. Without without tshuva, the misa and Yom Kippur is not going to be mechaper. Tshuva mechaper al averos kalos, tshuva alone, without Yom Kippur, without misa, is mechaper for lighter averos, alasei, valos asei, viala chamuros hitola ad sheva Yom Kippur mechaper. But for more serious averos, tshuva will work, but only in conjunction with Yom Kippurim. It's not going to work alone. The Rambam writes in the first part of Hilchos Tshuva that tshuva is mechaper b'miktsas, Yom Kippurim completes the kapara. It's based on Yerushalmi. The Meiri says that the whole purpose of tshuva is on Yom Kippur, meaning the whole the tachlis tshuva, the ultimate of tshuva, is Yom Kippur. And nevertheless, the tshuva gemur is mechaper any time. It's just that the most likely scenario is that the tshuva will happen on Yom Kippur, that the fullest tshuva will happen in Yom Kippur. So it's not about Yom Kippur per se, it's about the highest level of tshuva, which is usually only achieved on Yom Kippur. So that's not like the Pasha reading of the Mishnah, that's how the Meiri understands. What about the following? Homer Echtev Ashuv. The person says, I could do an Avera, and then I'll do tshuva, so no problem. You have sometimes teenagers like this, I'll go to Eretz Yisrael, so don't worry, I'll become a good Jew later, but right now I'm going to have fun, so I'm going to do an Avera now, and then later on I'll do tshuva. So Echtev Ashuv, I'll do an Avera, I'll do tshuva. He keeps on saying that. Ein Masvikim Yadal Asos tshuva. Kodesh Baruch is not going to give him opportunities for tshuva if a person continues to take that attitude. Echtov Yom Kippur Mechaper and Yom Kippur Mechaper. If a person says, I can do an Avera, and don't worry, Yom Kippur will take care of me. Yom Kippur will, in fact, not take care of such a person. Now, why is it that Kodesh Baruch doesn't allow such a person to do tshuva if he says that I'm going to do tshuva? So, a number of different approaches. The Orach HaSadikim in Shara Tshuva suggests that since he violates the Avera multiple times, it becomes like a heter for him. And therefore, on his own, he's not going to do tshuva. I mean, you only do tshuva for what you view as an avera. The Gemara Kiddushin says, "Kivin shavar adam b'shanaba." If a person does an avera and does it more than once, it's nasas lo kaheter. He starts to view it like a heter, or even like a mitzvah. He starts to think that his avera is a mitzvah. People don't do tshuva for things that they think are mutar or a mitzvah. So that's why it means that he's not going to do tshuva. The Rambam writes that there are 24 things that are ma'akev as a tshuva. The Rambam has a whole parak in the tshuva that discusses averos for which you can't do tshuva, and four of them he defines as avon gadol. It's too big of an avera to simply do tshuva for because of godel cheto. And one of those examples is echtev ashuv. That an avera where you're planning on doing tshuva for the avera, that's such a big avera that a person can't do tshuva. The Maral has a fascinating explanation. Maral writes that tshuva is one of the tariq mitzvahs, and every person has to fulfill all the tariq mitzvahs. In order to be mekayim mitzvah of tshuva, a person has to do an avera at some point in order to be able to do tshuva. So if a person says echtev ashuv maspikim b'yadol asos tshuva because it gives an opportunity to, but if he says echtev ashuv, that's why the Mishnah said it twice. He says it twice, and then ain't maspikim b'yadol asos tshuva. What do you need tshuva for? You should have not done the aver in the first place. But one time you get a freebie so that you can fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. It's an unusual explanation. Okay, so says Gemara aver shmelam mamakom yom kippur mechaper. If a person violates an aver shmelam mamakom yom kippur is going to be mechaper from aver shmelam lechavero and yom kippur mechaper at shirat says chavero. But it's b'nad lechavero, then you need to actually speak to your friend and get mechila for him. Darsha b'lozer ben Azariah, mikol chatzisech m'fnei Hashem titaru. The pasuk says, when it talks about Yom HaKippurim, that from all your sins, you get tara from l'fnei Hashem. So aver shmel l'makom Yom HaKippurim mechaper, aver shmel l'makom, which is l'fnei Hashem, Yom HaKippurim will be mechaper for, but aver shmel l'chavero, which is not l'fnei Hashem, and therefore, in Yom HaKippurim mechaper, at shirat says chavero. That's why you need to actually address the issue directly with your friend. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecham Yisrael v'nei mi'atem mitarin. How fortunate the Jewish people are. Look who we get to have tara in front of when we do tshuva, mi mitar eschem. And who is the one that's mitar us? Tosfos Yamtuv explains the double lashon, v'nei mi'atem mitarin, mi mitar eschem. The Rabbi Akiva is coming to tell us that there are two types of people that do tshuva. There's a person that goes on his own and is chozer, so that's the derech hatova, so that's HaKadosh Baruch who helps him out and is mitar him. But then there's a person that is yetzer hara, is miskaber lov, and he's not mitar himself. And now the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be ma'orer him to tshuva. L'fnei mi atem mitarim. That's on your own. Umi mitar eschem. When you don't go on your own and you're not self-motivated, but avichem shebashamayim is going to be mitar eschem. He's going to be mitar you. Avichem shebashamayim. Look how fortunate that Kodesh Baruch Hu helps us in the tshuva process. Shenamer, because the pasuk says, v'zrakti aleichem mayim tarim utahartem. Va'omer mikva Yisrael Hashem. Ma mikva mitar eschem. Ma'afak Kodesh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael, just like a mikvah is mitaris tamei people, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitaris Yisrael. So Hashem Badi and Hashem Tali Lo says, wait a second, we said that a Karban Hashem gives you kapara right away. It sounds like only in Hashem Vade, not in Hashem Talui. Va'kapara k'siva beba, doesn't it say kapara with regard to Hashem Talui as well? It says, Mara hanach mechapri kapara gemura, Hashem Talui enim mechapri kapara gemura. Achatas and Hashem Vade give full kapara. Hashem Talui doesn't give full kapara because it just holds off the Yisurim until you come to the recognition that you sinned and then you have to bring achatas. Inami hanach ein acher mechapri kaparasan. When it comes to the chatas and the Hashem Vade, the kapara is complete and there's nothing else to do. But Hashem Tali, Acher Mechaper Kaparasin, you still need an additional kapara after the Hashem Tali. Ditnan, Chayavi Chatos Vashamos Vadoin, Shavalein Yom Kippurim, Chayavin. If you had Yom Kippur that passed and you still didn't bring a Chatos or Nashim, you still have to bring your karban. Whereas Hashemos Tli and Peturin, if you have Nashim Tali, there is another form of kapara. If Yom Kippur came and you still haven't brought your Hashem Talu, your potter from the karban. It's only if you know bevadai that you sin that you'd have to bring the chata. So you see, there's something else that's mechaper other than the Hashem Talu. So when we say that an Hashem Vadai and a chatas are mechaper on the spot, it means they're the things that are mechaper and nothing else can be mechaper other than them for those averus. But that which you're chayv and Hashem Talu for, there's something else that can be mechaper, namely Yom HaKippurim. Okay, we'll stop there. From tomorrow we'll pick up with Misa Yom Kippur Mechaprin Im HaTshuva. Okay, have a good day. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, have a good day.
Take care.